is corn. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Core, episode 64 of Core. My name is Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz, John Jagger, and nobody else, just the three of us. That was really cool. That was super cool. You can't see this at home if you're listening to the podcast, but Bo Schwartz, our very own Bo, put together two things. Number one, well, first of all, let's back this truck up. He made our theme song back when we started the show. And at the time, John and I were like, whoa, dude, no freaking way. That's amazing. This is the coolest thing ever, right? We were pretty stoked about it. And now he has come back in 2017 and said, hey, why don't we refresh this business and have a fresh new score to the opening of the show, which already, that seems like already a hard thing and a rad thing. And he's already done that cool rad thing. And then he said, hey, I've been working on this cool video intro. What do you guys think of this? And we both lost our minds. So that's what you just saw in the live chat room. And if you're watching the YouTube archive, it's so cool, Bo. It's so freaking cool. So well done. Well,
thanks. I'm proud of it. That was a 28 hour up straight well spent, I have to say.
Did you do that? How long? You really were like all through the night working. You got obsessed and you just stayed with it.
So the theme is based on... one of the pieces for Blackheart's Bay. Yeah. Actually, it's not often played in game, but yeah. It's like this epic, you know, part that is super exciting that I really love to listen to all the time. And sometimes it shows up in marketing for what Heroes does. And I was like, that's got to be a theme. That itself right there. I can build on that and do like a covery kind of thing for the show, which is all about celebrating heroes. Yeah. And so I've been thinking about it for a couple weeks, and then Friday last week, I worked on it till about 3 a.m. And then I said, you know what I'm going to do? A video with this would be great. And I started work at 3 a.m. on Friday night. And I went through to like midnight the next night.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, dude.
And it's because I was just so stoked. It turned like, honestly, the Blizzard marketing stuff is so good that if you just start putting them together, it starts looking like something else that's just awesome. Yeah. Too,
so. Well, it's a fine package. I know John agrees. John, you still agree, right? Still in agreement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's really rad, and I hope people like it. Now, we're on the launcher tonight. That means a bunch of you are seeing this on the launcher and going, what's this show? Who are these doughheads? Welcome. We're glad to have you. We're here to talk about Heroes of the Storm. That's what we do here on Core. And we're going to dive right in. I got a quick little conversation I want to have about the humbling experience that this game, Heroes of the Storm, one of our favorite Blizzard games, can sometimes sort of put me, the humble position it can put me in. And it occurred to me after some rough games on Saturday in Team League that one thing that helps me is to remind myself, even after a string of wins, I'm not anywhere nearly as good at this game as I think I am. Now, you might at first say, well, Scott's a very negative outlook on yourself. You don't want to be looking at yourself as a bad player. That's not what I mean. Clearly, I mean, I don't think I'm a bad player, but I do think sometimes I get into these little ruts where you'll have a string of games where everything's going great. And they're going great because we're having team matchups where we're playing a team either worse than us or match just right with us or we stomp them or whatever. But all the endorphin at the end of that thing is positive reinforcement. Way to go, guys. You're the best team ever. Nice job. You won. And you walk away with all those good feelings. So when you have a string of 4 to 5 games where you win 1 of 5, it's demoralizing in a way that, you know, we've talked about before on the show, and I don't want to rehash all of that. But what helped me this last time was at the end of that to go, you know what? What am I expecting? Like, I've got an arbitrary system of machine learning and AI that's on a server someplace deciding where we should best fit. And part of its decision-making process is going, all right, well, Kyle's got a very high MMR. Bo has got a very high MMR. The rest of us are sort of in down further a little bit. I'm toward the bottom, but we've got this range of people. And so this complicated matching system that we barely know anything about as it is has to somehow go, all right, well, what do we do here? How do we make the best possible match when we have, you know, Diamond 1 player over here and we've got, you know, bronze one down here potentially, and how do we make a good match? And it does the best it can, and then it gives us games, and it's easy to, at the end of those games to go, oh, I suck. Why do I suck so bad? And I think it's, I think we're too hard on ourselves. I think I'm too hard on myself. I'm just going to speak for me here because I'm talking to anybody else about this. So my new mantra, if this is helpful to anyone out there at all, is to approach the game, each and every game, as a fresh experience without any expectation for blowing anybody out or losing terribly or any of those things. Just go in, live it minute to minute. It's kind of like advice for life, you know, live in the now kind of thing. I got to get better at that because otherwise I just question everything. It's like, well, did we lose because of me? Was that my fault? Was this my fault? Was that somebody else's fault? Did I do something wrong in the follow-up? What could we have done to fix it? And you can spin yourself in circles trying to answer those questions. So that's Scott's light psychology minute for the top of today's core episode. Use it as you will. Thoughts, feelings, gentlemen?
I'm with you. I like this mantra. I'm feeling it.
All right.
You know, it's funny because we do have a tendency to fall into that, you know, sometimes victories can be misleading. You win a bunch in a row and you think, well, that's it. I'm the best player that ever existed. Clearly, I've won 100% of the past six games I played. Therefore, I'm the best and nothing can touch me. Yep. And therefore, I must be great. Mm-hmm. But we all make mistakes. We all do weird things. I mean, just the other day, I was probably the reason we lost the game. I was playing Medivh, hero I'm not very familiar with. If you might remember from the last episode, my least favorite hero in the game.
Yep.
But I was playing him, and I did what I thought was a clutch save. Thought I saved the day. And had Bo been any character except Zul'jin, that might have been true. But instead, I got poor Bo killed. And it led to a team wipe, and that led to the end of the game.
Okay, that same...
Oh, you ley line sealed when I went Taz Dingo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Taz, no!
No, you wasted Taz Dingo. But see, the same thing happened with me when I was healing for a game in the same, maybe even the same string of games. I don't remember. Because I think that was a quick match you're talking about. Was that our warm-up? I don't know when that was.
No, that was a quick match one night.
All right, because I have memory of that.
Definitely a quick match if it was John on Medivh.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
I don't remember, but I know it was a quick
match. Yeah, you wouldn't have drafted Medivh. What am I thinking? But there was a game on Saturday where I was, I guess, a healer. I don't know what I was doing. But I remember at some point, Bo has got good instincts for shot calling and knowing where people should be when they should be there. And I'm in the middle of, I don't know, maybe it was Karazim. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I was fighting, or I was taking down a Merc camp, and you said, nope, we got to go now. And in my head, I'm going, well, yeah, but I got like, you know, quarter life left on this fat guy on the left. I can totally do this. I'm going to get him down. I'm going to leave. And then we get both things. We get me up there healing and fighting and being part of the team fight, but also we got this Merc camp that they're going to steal if we don't get now, and we're already sort of behind the eight ball. And because I took that extra however many seconds it was to do that, and then the few extra seconds you have to shave off for me to like travel up north to get to where I needed to go, I mean, there's no way to know for sure, but I'm pretty sure the fact that they were five and we were four and the healer was the fifth that wasn't there yet was the reason we lost the game. And that can be so demoralizing. It's good, too. It's a learning experience. It's like, gosh, dang it. Every time Bo said that, he's usually been right. I would rather him be wrong and have me up there than have him be right. Wait, how's it go? Well, anyway, you know what I mean. He was right. That's the bottom line. And I should have been up there to be a part of the team. That stuff can just, like, destroy you. So you can literally go from a game where you raffle stomp the other team and you just go, man, we're unstoppable. We're the best team ever. Nobody can ever touch this five-man comp. And the very next game, you can blow it because you're getting a Merc camp while everybody needs a heal. And it's really, really frustrating. So I'm coming to a new place, a new little Zen moment in the game where I'm just going to approach it like fresh beef, man. I'm just going to come in there and say, how do I want to cook my beef? Do I want to barbecue this? Do I want a steak? Do I want burger? Do I want more fat in there? Do I want less fat? Do I want lean beef? Like, what do I want out of my meat? And I'm going to cook it however I want to cook it, because The circumstances of the moment will dictate how to cook that beef.
And if so you're playing the butcher.
I'm playing the butcher, right. Blood stacks. And if Bo says, whoa, 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 that meat's overcooked, stop cooking it, I'm going to stop cooking it and do it the way that the team needs it to be done. Like do it in the moment and not think ahead too far or get too cocky about what you think is the right move or what. And for me, that's gonna help me through this drought period of team league that we had on Saturday.
Well, and I think another thing to keep in mind just real quick is it's always very noticeable when you make the wrong play and it backfires real bad.
Yeah.
It's not always noticeable when you make a call and it turns out good. Because very rarely do you make the right call and it wins the game. It happens, but it's not as apparent. It's not as easy to see. So, you know, let's pretend Bo was on a different character and I swooped in Medivh and did a Leyline Seal and saved him when he was at 1 HP. That would have been an awesome moment. He would have been really excited.
Yeah.
But in this case, it wasn't the right call. You know, if those mercs that you took and then you had been able to get up there in time and we did win and those mercs ended up pushing down that lane really well and did good things for us, that would have felt really cool at that point. Mm-hmm. So sometimes this game is about risk and taking risk, and that's not always going to pay off.
Bo, anything to add to the fine table laid before us?
Well, you're supposed to feel emasculated when you play competitive games because there's no other way that, like, you have a decision point each time that happens to you, which is, I'm going to figure out how this guy in Call of Duty keeps knife killing me and I feel humiliated. He killed me 10 times. I'm going to figure out how to do what he did, or I'm just going to keep getting pwned when I play and complain about it. Like, I just think that's always a decision. Mm-hmm. And we had some emasculating games last weekend. Like, and part of it is we have a wide MMR pool and we play, so we could roll. I feel like our variance on average MMR is higher because we either we're stomping or we're getting stomped because we have like diamond to silver in our group, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so what's the matchmaker going to do with that?
Yeah.
And certainly, if someone greatly outskills you, I wouldn't beat yourself up over looking for lessons because you can't learn all the lessons all at once. You have to sort of take it in stride. So that's it's kind of tough,
mm-hmm.
but, and I'm not sure what you were doing with the meat analogy. I hate to be a dick.
Yeah, you and the...
I didn't really get how you're going to learn anything out of that, but, but you know, It just starts small and don't beat yourself up too much for it. Like it happens, I think, to all of us where we get humiliated and we deal with humiliation in different ways. Mm-hmm. And even if you're a higher level, a lot is expected of you. So if you start derping all the time, you'll feel potentially more bad about it than if you're a silver player. And then you're just saying, well, whatever, man. Like, you know, so everyone always has an opportunity to learn at all times.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, don't feel bad about it. Some days they're just like that. And you got to have a little laugh and then figure out what you did wrong and how to correct it. Like, maybe don't face check bushes and maybe don't be optimistic because there's this moment in the game. And I think we do this one a lot where we feel very, I'm sure a lot of players relate too. We feel very optimistic that the enemy isn't doing that camp. I'm free to go invade and take it. Sure enough, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the mistake again and again because that's one of those things where it's hard to notice, you know, where you're just like, no, I'm fine being ahead of my tank. This team fight is going to go well. And then all of a sudden it doesn't. And that's a tough lesson to learn because it happens. It might happen in a key moment once every 20 minutes per game and maybe not every game. So once every 40 minutes, you're making this mistake in a 2-second window. So it doesn't jump out at you as a teachable moment. I hate that term, but you know,
too.
Like a moment of opportunity where there's something there for you to learn. It's not happening to you over the course of 40 minutes that you're getting pwned over and over again. So you're like trying to figure it out. It's like a few seconds every 40 minutes, maybe, that you really need to learn to be disciplined about. Because John, you know, we don't want to be results-oriented thinkers and say, well, if it worked out, then I'm a hero, so I'm going to keep doing this bad decision. If it was a gambling bet and your odds of winning in that situation were 30%, you wouldn't take that bet. You'd take the 70, 80% bet,
yeah,
which is even though you're so close to getting a kill, you're not going to risk it by chasing into the towers. You're going to stay behind your tank, and if he wants to go away, you're going to be sad and go away too. But yeah, know that your decision is better.
You don't take full.
If that's the meat, if that there is the meat, then you cook that meat.
Let me tell you something. If what you're trying to tell me is I make weird analogies, I'm in agreement. I love
your analogies. I just didn't get it.
I don't know where it comes from, but I'll say this. Like, here's a better analogy. Even if you're Michael Jordan, you're not taking half-court shots all the time. If you were, you would maybe have a slightly higher percentage of those going in than some of the other players in the NBA at the time. But the smart money is that you're going to miss most of them just because of physics. And, you know, that's the way things go. So to me, that's kind of what you're saying. It's like,
I think that was A, a sports analogy, mm-hmm, and B, it made sense.
See?
Goal! Yeah. I'm not allowed to say anything on that subject except that it was a good analogy.
All right.
I'm banned from talking about sports in case anyone in the chat room doesn't know.
Oh,
I don't know. I liked it, but now I'm sure all of a sudden we're going to get, you guys should need to not talk about sports.
Why would you be banned from sports analogies, Bo? I don't remember. Did you say something?
Well, John has done. It's because every time we start talking about sports, I get very inaccurate apparently about what's involved in sports.
Okay,
I don't seem to think so, but
if I asked you who did Michael Jordan play for, what would you say?
Who was the Chicago Bulls?
See,
I know that
you're fine. You're fine. It's fine.
Nailed
he played with Kobe Bryant, and Dennis Rodman was on the team.
Kobe Bryant was not on the team. Dennis Rodman was.
Kobe Bryant was played with the Bulls when Jordan played.
No, he didn't.
Who am I thinking?
I don't know. You're thinking of Scottie Pippen, maybe? You're thinking of...
Yeah, Pippen was on the team, but Kobe was on the team too, wasn't he?
No, he did not play for the Bulls.
Kobe on the team at some point?
Kobe Bryant played for L.A. his entire career.
I didn't know he played for the Lakers, but I thought he played for the Bulls as a guy.
Okay.
Well,
so what you've done is... That point. So we... I'm sorry, I put you in that position. I apologize.
I swore he played... But whatever.
He didn't play
for the
Bulls.
I thought Bryant was a Bull before he was a Laker.
No, that would have been a hell of a thing because that would have basically continued the legacy. It would have gone from one amazing point guard to the next best point guard in the history of the game if Kobe just wasn't such a dick. Anyway, moving on. Sorry, that's just an opinion I hold of a guy who's kind of rude. Hey,
Kobe's fired.
Yeah. Let's move on. Some news. The new armor mechanic is in the game. Armor for Canadians and Englishers. With a U, O-U-R.
Yeah. I would spell it armor.
Would you?
But this article published on the Hero site had A-R-M-O-R.
That's because that's how we spell it here in the States. And I wonder why have we done that and why do we accept that? Is because we're just busy and so running around all the time that we don't have time for U's in our lives or what?
I don't know. But you don't need nothing. Not everything has to be efficient. Some things can just be beautiful the way they are. And, you know, the extra U kind of adds a sense of beauty to the word armor.
Because here in America, you don't have to be reminded of yourself.
instead of that over here, it's just yourself without the U.
Yep. I don't know. That's my best guess. That's all I had.
So for those not initiated, and we've talked about it briefly on the show before, but resistance is now armor. Will you explain, Bo, how that freaking works? Because it's confusing.
Sorry, I read the chat room. They're still laughing about me and Kobe. Be nice, guys. All right. So we talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago about, you know, the vulnerability and resistance and how that all worked, right? Mm-hmm. So that's all still true. The big thing you need to take away, because you're going to see it in game, is that the word resistance, I think, has been expunged from all the tooltips, mm-hmm, and it's replaced with armor. And much to the chagrin of many OCD language people, there's no percentile sign next to the number, but it's still functionally a percentile, if that makes any sense.
So wait, is it? Okay, no, I completely understand. But so they're mad because it used to have a percentage, and now it doesn't. So in effect, it isn't that. It's not like something
it's space points.
Yeah,
they said this is a percentage, and people understand percentages, but we're going to present it as space armor points.
Mm.
Because I know how much you love Microsoft's online platform.
Love the space
for currency.
Love the space points. And so now it caps at 75, and it's called armor. So you, in effect, when you stack resistance / armor, now armor used to be resistance, you can go no higher than 75.
That's, I'm pretty sure that's still true.
Yeah,
pretty sure it's still true.
So if I'm, let me get this right. If this isn't shields, so for those who may be confused about what shielding is versus what armor is.
No, but shields can give you armor up to 75.
Okay, so that hard cap. So, okay, sorry.
Well, shields are the white stuff that go on your health bar.
That is correct.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So let me.
Different mechanic.
Right. So let me ask you this. Let's say you've got armor. Let's say your armor's already 75 because of a buff you're experiencing right then and a talent you already have. I can't think of an example of a hero that's doing this.
Hardened shield gives you 75 armor. Right?
Okay, there you go. Sure. So let's say you've got that, and somebody comes along who's got a buff or a part of his kit that will, in theory, give you additional armor now, not resistance, but armor.
Right.
Are they just whiffing that and wasting it because you've already got the cap?
Unless you get hit with something that reduces armor, in which case it can then bring you back up to 75.
Okay.
So you've got hardened shield, you get hit with northern exposure, bringing you down to 50 armor, and then you get a safeguard, let's say. I'm not sure if that still gives 25 armor now. The Morales' safeguard, you know, the...
Yeah.
And,
That's how I know it.
That'll bring you back to 75.
Okay, so I get that. Everything you've said makes sense to me. Here's my question. Maybe this is just a skill question. I don't know. And forgive me if this sounds dumb, but I'm trying to wrap my head around it. If now it's more difficult for another player to know whether you need a boost in your armor, and they're just throwing it at you like they used to, and it's not stacking beyond 75, they're in theory, they're wasting whatever the resource is, mana or whatever they happen to use. So sure. It would be kind of like me throwing... It's as if Lili could still heal when you were at 100%. She can't, but if she could, it would just be wasted healing on top of your already capped out 100%. You can't have 150% health.
It's over-armoring.
Okay. Over-armoring. So it's over. It's like over-healing in WoW or something.
Yeah.
But
the good news is that Hardened Shield, which is a level 20 talent that grants you 75 for 3 or 4 seconds, mm-hmm. It's pretty rare... for someone to be at cap, okay. Like with something default or baseline. Mm-hmm. So that the instances where you hit cap are not going to be very often, I think.
Okay.
So the reverse cap is a little more.
You can sustain it then. You can't sustain your 75. You may be able to peak at that occasionally, but you're never going to be, there are no characters in the game. They're going to be walking around with a constant 75 armor.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Not all a right. constant 75. No.
All right.
But where the conversation at the other end of the spectrum is a little more prescient, I suppose, is if someone has no armor and they're granted vulnerable, additional vulnerable stacks, I think now extend the duration or refresh it, but they don't add. You can't give someone 50% vulnerable.
Oh.
And you will get the value if someone does have armor on them, right? So in the case of Hardened Shield, you could stack 3 different vulnerables to bring them back to normal damage, unarmored state.
Because right. Those are all 25% across the board, right?
Yeah, practically speaking, you'll just want to make sure, like in a team game or, you know, even in your Hero League games, if you see vulnerable on someone to delay a bit so you get full value from it on mm-hmm. something that's unarmored.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So is there a new mechanic in the game now then when Jaina comes around the corner and casts vulnerable through her cone of cold and I now about ready to rain hell on them, somebody can swing around and buff that dude out of his 25. In other words, back up to mm-hmm. whatever he was right before I hit him with that. And was that possible before?
No, the way the mechanics worked, they were working on it, but essentially the way the mechanics worked was I think you would just not benefit from the additional vulnerables.
Okay.
The armor would stack, though, I guess.
Okay.
Still.
All right.
But what's notable here as well, and what's very important for everyone to understand, because this is a change, is that there are 3 types of armor. it's not just, you just don't have armor. You have spell armor, which blocks ability-based damage, the purple numbers that mm-hmm. appear on your screen mm-hmm. when you hit things. There's physical armor, and that blocks auto attacks. And then there's armor, which blocks both.
there's armor.
I think it's just called armor, but I like saying armor.
Armor.
It's armor for your armor.
All right.
Yeah, so it's important if you're playing a Nubarak, for example, who now comes with a baseline 25 spell armor built in by default. It doesn't work versus auto attacks. So if you do, I don't know how people make these mathematical decisions in their head and in the state of the game, knowing which is spell armor and which isn't in such a way, but there you have it.
Sure.
A Nubarak is more resistant to mages and spells.
That makes sense.
And yeah, things like Nova's Snipe, I believe, does ability power. So that's like a spell too.
Yeah. And
spell armor counters
it's a very Blizzard thing to have in the math. But so I guess my overall question is this. Do you think that in a team fight where the scrum is on and it's nutso in there and everyone's freaking out and jumping all over the place and you're firing off ults and your kit and your combos and everything, is this going to make those fights more complicated in that they're more precision-based or you have to be more thoughtful about what you're casting and when and coordinating that with your teammates? Or is it not really matter in those scenarios and who cares?
I'll be honest, like even at my level of ability, which is not like God tier or anything, but like I see the vulnerability shield and I go nuts and I'm like, kill that thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have the capacity to calculate in my head, he's got 25 spell armor plus the hardened shield vulnerability means that he has 50% resistance to my auto attack. So no, I will not go in even though he has a shield on it. Like by the time I've made this calculation in my head, I'm dead or something. Like sure. I feel like it's a little too pen and paper-y, like other MOBA-y. It's a very simple system to even, I feel kind of bad complaining about it, but the way the game works is I see the lights go off in the game and I do things based on what I see. And so this is very unreadable, this system. Mm. There's already a lot of unreadable stuff, like how regen actually affects your poke game is not very, that's a very high level thing to be mindful of, for example, because you don't see regen on a character or how it's impacting your game unless you look at the talent screen and know how it impacts you.
Sure.
So in the middle of a firefight, I just want to hit the guy with vulnerable and I'm going to be a tool and make a mistake. Probably if that person has resistance, I don't know how I'm going to know unless it's granted by something kind of obvious, like hardened shield or something. Mm. So
I wonder if they can animate it too and say like, oh, vulnerable caused that shield to break, but then a new shield goes vroom, and, you know, makes a nice sparkly or something as
so,
if you never
so
did anything.
That's true. There are some shield symbols for like, I don't know if Tychus has it anymore, but he used to have a level one where if you dashed, you'd get resistance. Mm-hmm. And then Carl Jim has one now. When he gets stunned, he gets a shield. And Rainer has it, I believe. He must get armor now if you do the activatable E on him. Mm-hmm. So there is an instance of shield, but we might need three different shields. Actually, we might need six different shields. Mm.
Well, what
we'll
I
need
was
some
thinking,
to indicate spell armor and physical armor.
Oh, that's a good point because I didn't think about spell armor. I was thinking like you could just put like next to their name, like stacking potentially like super tiny, just right next to the name, three little green arrows if they're at the max 75%. Lose one of the green arrows for every 25% they are lower. No arrows if they're neutral, and one down red arrow if they're at 25%. Make it intervals of 25 right next to the name, just as a quick way of looking and going, hey, but then yes, that gets complicated with spell armor versus physical armor versus armor. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So I'm back to zero. But I would like something like that. It would be nice to be able to just look at the titles of the names and have a quick metric, even if it isn't perfect, to say, this guy is still armored, this guy is not armored, or this guy has vulnerable on them.
What if there was like a next to their names, where currently you well, I don't know what's there now. Something's there now. I can't think of what. Next to their bar, isn't there something on the left end of the bar that's like a symbol of some sort? Maybe I'm remembering that wrong.
Sometimes I think they do if they gain certain status effects. Like
that might be it. Like oh,
I know it'll write stasis and stuff. But
that's what I'm thinking of is when they pick up a nuke on Warhead Junction, nuke shows up. That's what I'm thinking of. But
oh, or coins on Blackheart's Bay.
There you go. That's the other one. So, but what about if armor is the thing across the board now, right? And the difference is real armor versus spell armor is your main distinction between armor types. then you could show next to somebody with a lot of spell armor a little blue shield, and anybody who's got just regular old ass armor has got like a regular, you know, like a steel shield. And when that shield's broken in half, you know that they've got some vulnerable. And you know when that thing's together and has two swords on it, they've buffed it. And when it's just a shield by itself, it's just normal. Like a, just yeah, some small indicator, you know?
It doesn't have to tell you exact specifics, but at least it would put us in the ballpark more than what we have now.
Yeah.
Which is really the only thing I'm trying to keep track of at this point is the characters that get it baked in, which we saw three that they now have baked in armor of some kind. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only thing that I can assume flat default is there. The other stuff is very hard to keep track of because it results from either buffs or debuffs and things like that. So I'm kind of like Bo, like I see the vulnerable shield and I go for that by default, but this does complicate it to where maybe that's not always a right choice.
Well, I'm interested in to see how this plays out, like in the broader sense, in the meta and everything else. Was this just today? This is today's patch, right?
I think it was with the Zul'jin patch last week.
Okay.
So, yeah, all the changes we're discussing, they dropped two patches last week.
Right. And the rumor that we were getting a new character today or tomorrow is Bunko, right? That's not happening now.
I think we still got 2 weeks probably before we see a new
character. Yeah. Okay. I think what we were thinking was we can talk about that. I didn't put that in the show notes, but
that's a good point.
About to talk about probably a mistake that was made on the Blizzard end. Should we talk about this? Maybe not.
Well, we can say it in general terms.
The people are talking about it.
We could say it in general terms. We don't have to say specific name, but they kind of sort of leaked potentially who the next hero probably is by referencing some screenshots that were part of it looked like launcher page or something, like a news launcher thing. And it was like placeholder stuff. And one of them said screenshots for so-and-so.
Yeah. Valyra screenshots is what it said.
Oh,
and,
all right.
And it's part of their press site. You can get all kinds of great material for your fan sites and your media sites from the blizzard.com site, like their company site. And so that news item came up a little early because probably they didn't want to show some Valyra screenshots right away. So somebody made a boo-boo is what everyone's thinking. So the assumption is Valyra's next or imminent or going to be, they might, you know, let us know about a couple of heroes all at once. Right. Cause usually we know about two at a time. So maybe she's not next, but somewhere on the pipeline.
So background on her real quick. She's one of the Windrunner sisters, right? She's No. Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of
Illyria.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Illyria and the other one.
Well,
Sylvanas
has
two sisters. Windrunners.
Sylvanas has two sisters, right?
Illyria and the other one.
And Phoenix or what's her name? Phoenix? She's in the book. Phoenix. She's in the War Crimes book. It's not Phoenix. It's not it. It's something like chat room.
Farisa,
that's it. Farisa. She's all up in that that War Crimes book, and I always forget her name.
But Phoenix.
Phoenix.
But
she has a runny nose.
Now we're gonna call her Phoenix.
Yeah, she's the lesser known.
Yeah, they keep Phoenix in the attic. But here, so all right. So tell me who Valyra is. Who the hell's that then?
So if you were a fan of the Warcraft comic book back when it came out, Valyra was a blood elf who was one of the gladiators, and she joined up with Varian. She's a traitor. She's a dirty alliance traitor. Mm. And I have mixed feelings about Valyra because I play a blood elf rogue in World of Warcraft. So the idea of them putting a blood elf rogue in Heroes of the Storm is very exciting news for me. But I have to get over my dislike for Valyra being a dirty traitor to be happy about this change. But she's also, as the chat room's saying, she's also the Hearthstone.
Oh, she's the Hearthstone freaking rogue. All right.
I probably should have started there. I'm starting with deeper lore. I'm like, in the comic books, and actually, her and Broll Bearmantle, like, oh, I should have just said she's the Hearthstone lady.
All right. She's... So, yeah, the Hearthstone rogue. I got it now. Now I know exactly who she is. All right. That's fine. We don't have a rogue yet. Stealthy stuff.
Well, the thing that everyone's complaining about is another stealth.
Yeah,
like the game definitely lacks stealth characters.
Yeah,
and needs more. That's what everyone's saying.
You think it needs more, or what's the general consensus? Do we need more stealth? Or
look, look, it's not that we don't need more, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's old news. It's been true since beta. Quick match, everyone plays Zeratul and Nova. They're constantly in your games if you quick match up solo queue.
Yeah.
And you pick assassin or specialist, there are good odds you're going to end up in the Zeratul, Sumuro, Nova match. Yeah. Like, it's just going to, they're all, and then Kuromi too. So you get blown up as well. Like, there's a lot of, and we've discussed it at length that, you know, quick match is what it is. But when you're quick matching to try out the new character and then you get this kind of match, it makes you want to try out the new character in ranked mode. Mm, so, yeah.
All right.
Anyways, that's I think the general consensus is from a more casual player who plays quick match, it's like, great, another person that I don't see is going to blow me up in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough of that when I play heroes.
Yeah. Well, we also don't know how stealthy she's going to be. I traditionally don't like stealth characters, but guys, this is my WoW character in the game, so
yeah.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah, you're a lady. Okay. You're a lady night elf or blood elf lady in the game.
Yeah, I'm a pretty blood elf lady. Yeah,
you've got some lore behind that. He's got some canon he'd like to share with us.
Safe space. We don't judge.
Yeah, no, we don't judge. It's fine. I will say this though. It's interesting that this there's been a string of WoW characters. I think this year is going to be heavy WoW for the game. Last year, I think, was all about Diablo, a little bit of WoW, and then a bunch of StarCraft. And I feel like 2017 is the year that Warcraft gets its biggest boost in terms of character and roster updates to this game. It also has the deepest roster, if you think about it. There are way more people to go after in Warcraft in terms of making new characters than there are in any of the other Blizzard games. So yeah, I have a feeling that 2017 is kind of that year. Is that year for
it's
that sort of thing?
Funny though, because that's still the one whenever they announce a WoW character, you always see on Reddit. Mm. Great guys, another WoW character. You guys have other universes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically it. Whenever X Heroes released, you'll hear from fans of every other franchise. Yeah, I think we need to get over it and just let those people blow wind as they will. They're fans of the game, so yeah. Respect.
Be glad that Blizzard is putting Blizzard characters into the game. Be glad about that.
Yeah. I just want more Overwatch characters so we can all start wondering which Overwatch characters are going to date which World of Warcraft characters.
Yes.
That's really what I'm interested
in. Yeah, I want some more. What do they call it?
Shipping?
Shipping. A little more shipping in our games. Yeah.
Our Heroes of the Storm. I mean, look, we're already obsessed with which Overwatch characters are dating each other, but now we've got multiple universes for them to date.
Yep.
We can have Zarya date a skeleton man. It's now possible. We live in a world where this can be a thing.
Are you rooting for Leoric and Zarya to get it on?
I don't know. That's just the two that came to mind.
I think Abathur and Tracer make a good couple, actually.
But Tracer's gay.
Because Abathur is such Tracer's a hard-ass, and Tracer is so irrepressibly positive that they'll complement each other. They'll both admire one another, but be very different.
They'll be friends, because she's gay, so she has to, like, I don't think she's going to switch sides for that.
Abathur is neither male nor female.
Abathur has
not one up me with your I know about gay people bit.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Let me tell you, Abathur is like defies gender.
Yeah.
Like, all I'm saying is I'm shipping Johanna Murky 2017. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Johanna Murky? Wow.
Yeah.
She needs an apprentice.
You know, John, I am not surprised to hear that this is your fantasy. This makes complete sense when I hear it.
Let me ask you if you think this sounds like a female voice.
Attack opportunity. Weakness in enemy defense.
It doesn't seem like that's a lady.
It doesn't sound like a male voice. It sounds pretty gender neutral. Yeah. I mean,
okay, sure.
A human has to play it. What is an ungendered human sound like?
Here's the problem, though. Advised. I know that's Steve Bloom.
Yeah, it is Steve Bloom.
Yeah, I know, but you suspend your disbelief for fantasy. We also know there's no such thing as the Zerg in real life.
Because I know it's also Grunt, and I know it's also Spike Spiegel.
But I think that Abathur would feel that, you know, gender is not conducive to good evolution.
He would probably say this is not the ultimate evolution. He would say, you know, spawning out of gooey sacks of Zerg poo is the way to go. because sure. it's more efficient or something.
You know what? That's a good point, but won me over.
Yeah. All right.
I'm on board.
Okay, you've heard it here first. Abathur, a girl.
Must attack
no,
now.
No, that's not what we decided, Scott. We just went through a whole thing where we're just caving in to make Go happy
whatever.
And learn the wrong lesson.
Yeah. Abathur's a girl.
Opportunity short.
Yeah, I agree. Opportunity very short. All right. Let's move on. We got some highlights from the patch that came out with Zul'jin, along with what we just talked about with armor. And some balance and stuff like that. Tournament draft added to custom games. That kind of snuck in there. I remember seeing it in the notes, but it seems like it was kind of unceremoniously added. And I'm totally cool with that. But what does that effectively mean? Can we do a tournament like right now if we wanted to and say, here's all the teams and is this a true tournament mode?
Yeah, it's not tournament mode in that you can organize a whole tournament. Mm. It's got what was so even though we've had draft in game, all the more official tournaments have been using third party sites such as Stormdraft and things like that for their drafting.
Right.
So what Heroes has done is implemented the official draft mode that has the perks of using a third party site now in the game. It'll be used for official ones, and I think the hope is that less official or less high ranking tournaments who do productions will also start to use this and not use third party ones,
including the HGC as well, right? They're gonna use this.
Yeah, they're gonna use their own draft thing. They're not gonna be using a draft client in a third party site, which they may even also have been doing if I recall correctly. I think they were using third party sites too.
Mm. You guys want to hear my gender neutral voice? This is my gender neutral voice. Ready?
Okay.
Pretty good. Pretty good. John, Nova, this will be good news for you. Nova's getting +2 mana per second regen while cloaked, baked into her kit. It was normally a level 1 talent. We don't know what that talent got replaced with, do we? We must, because it's out. What happened? What got put in there?
Well, so that talent was removed and not replaced, if I'm not mistaken. She just has one less talent on that tier.
Interesting.
Yeah.
She had 3, and now she has 2?
What's that?
She had 3, now she has 2?
I believe so. She had 4 announced.
Oh,
three.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But yeah, this is cool. But I said this to Bo. I don't remember having mana issues ever with Nova. It just doesn't seem to come up that often. Like, I feel like when I'm in a place where I'm spamming abilities so much that I get into mana trouble, I feel like I'm probably about to die or I'm about to go back to the Nexus portal anyway. So I don't know. It's cool. I think it got baked into the one that increases her speed while stealthed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one that it got put into? Yeah, and that one's pretty good. That one I do like for that reason.
No, it was baked into her trait, no?
It doesn't say here.
I'm just looking it up now.
I thought it got added to the talent that increases her speed.
Tactical espionage removed advanced. Oh, okay. It did get baked into the advanced cloaking. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. So, give that to Vala, please. I'd like her to have +2 mana per second regen. How about that? She doesn't have to be cloaked.
She has that regen talent on Vala now. It's actually pretty good.
Is it?
Have you taken it?
I still feel like I got no mana with her ever. Just always out of mana, that thing, that girl. She's not a thing. She's a lady. Right, she's a fine lady. Rainer bugs are fixed, so no more a Hyperion doing damage it shouldn't be doing and stuff like that. So
So we warned everyone last week. Now warning off.
Yeah, warning is gone. Do not be warned anymore about Rainer.
Everybody go stand in the Hyperion now.
Yeah, it's fine. Yep. It's fine. It won't do anything to you.
And when people get mad at you, tell them you heard it on Core. And
Yeah, they can blame it on us.
John said I could stand right in the middle.
I shouldn't have said Core. I should have said another show.
Tell them Lords of the Storm sent you. Tell them that. Tell them Ryan told you to do it.
Yeah. Ryan Reeder, TBK Zord said, no, it's actual strat is to stand in Hyperion. It's better.
Exactly. Okay. That's a good point.
All right. Our work is done here.
Our work here is done. What else? Asmodan's laser hand now has, it's not called laser hand.
called All Shall Burn.
Yeah. Laser Hand now has movement baked in. Before, you had to stand still unless you took a talent. So that's now part of his kit. That seems good to me, although I still don't really play Asmodan, but I'm sure those fans are excited. Sylvanas, mind control range increased a little tiny bit. John, did you feel like she was needing that? Like it was just a little? No.
I liked that talent. I was in the, you know, unpopular minority with it, but I liked it because I don't use it necessarily as a, oh, I've got to mind control them all the way back here all the time. I used it as a real long stun.
Yeah.
And Sylvanas to me doesn't do enough damage to where the fact that she can't help fight with that stun to where it's totally useless. I still really like it as a talent. I didn't think it necessarily needed a buff, but I will absolutely take a buff.
Sure, why not?
This lets her be safer while doing it, I guess.
Level 1 talent Paralysis replaced with Dreadful Wake. Haunting Wave now disables minions and mercs for 7 seconds. It's a long time. 7 seconds, yeah. Is that right?
Yep, but keep in mind it's not structures.
Which okay.
To me is the... Because when you think about how her trait works, it shuts down structures. Yeah. Like, that's the big deal with her push.
Sure.
I mean, it's useful on the mercs too. But I don't think it affects structures. If it does, this is broken.
Are we?
Like, I'm going to call it now.
Yeah.
I'll be playing Sylvanas every day.
Yeah, if it's not structures, boy, we don't know, though, do we? Have we seen? I guess I'm trying to think.
Well, the tooltip I read in the patch notes says minions and mercs.
Oh,
very
okay.
specific. So it's very specific wording. So lawyer brain says that means not heroes, not monsters, not buildings or structures.
Okay.
Would be the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
and the nice thing about it is this, it's a risk reward situation. You know, Haunting Wave is what she relies on to get out of danger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using it to shut down minions or mercs, you're putting yourself at risk because if somebody swoops in and you're sitting there, you've now used your escape to, you know, freeze a minion. So
but you just use the Haunting Wave to just show them who's boss. Like that's important to intimidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm pro using Haunting Wave recklessly. After having played some Sylvanas recently, I'm like, no, you don't need escapes. It's not
so when
it's
you
for.
Say define reckless, like when is it when?
So the way I like to play Sylvanas, and I think it just works because it's unexpected behavior and not actually good, is to take the double double Haunting Wave. It works.
The double Haunting Wave. Actually,
double Haunting Wave. And you get the extra charge, so it shoots faster. You get 6 charges. You unload your charges while you Haunting Wave into the entire enemy team, all 5 of them. You E at the end. You get a refilled quiver. And then you're behind them, way out of position. Immediately launch your Haunting Wave again back through the team. Unleash your arrow for vulnerable. Hit something in the back line with all your arrows. Hold down the Q button. And wailing back to safety. Sylvanas does a surprising amount of damage. Often it feels like she's not doing a lot of damage, but she can really burst someone down if she's positioned correctly with the Q and the vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really reckless play, but I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Running
it
away
is fun. I mean, it is actually it a really fun way to play her.
Yeah.
But in this case, if you were using it on, say, some mercs, she has to use that Haunting Wave again within a certain amount of time, and odds are not necessarily good that it's going to work out super great for you if you get jumped while you're trying to use it aggressively on a merc camp. Mm.
Sure. Like I said, it's fraught with peril, but it's fun.
Bo, who at the start of the episode said, don't take bad bets, is all about taking
all about those bets, son. So also you get 5 mana per minion hit. So there's some good mana, confiscation there. Possession charge cooldown decreased from 12 to 8 seconds. So now that's, nice and
still trying
tidy.
To make possession a thing. They're still trying to make it a thing, Scott.
Yeah. Possession, man. That's 9/10 of the law, right? Or whatever. Isn't that the old phrase?
That's what she yells when you cast it, actually. Possession is 9/10 of the law.
I'm glad she doesn't really do that. Let's see what else. Thrall, I got a change here. Earthquake cooldown up from 60 to 100 seconds. Yeek! That's a nasty one. That's a 40 second difference, folks. That's a lot of time that's a whole nother cooldown for something else, for somebody else.
Yeah.
But also, you know, remember the days when Earthquake never got picked ever? Like, it was just ignored and everybody did Sunder, and now it's Earthquake, 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 and it wins games, man. So I think I get it. I think I understand, but geez, that's a huge ding.
It's the self-healing and the extra damage really make a difference to make it obnoxious. It's funny because I wonder if there are Thrall players who were playing Earthquake and did well with it even before its buffs.
Probably.
And had their secret sauce ruined.
Yeah.
Still, I think even though it's a big upgrade, it's such a playmaking ability that it's still worth to take.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. I really like Earthquake now. Used to hate it, but I really like it now. I don't know what changed for me. I think, didn't it used to work differently? Like, it was just one sustained Earthquake. This three pulse thing, I swear, is new-ish.
No, it was always three pulses, but
you didn't get just healed from it. Yeah. And I don't think it was as damaging. It does damage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does now. I didn't think it did damage before.
It doesn't do a ton. And doesn't it depend on how many are in it? I don't know if that's true or not.
You proc more healing per person. Every time the three wave goes out, every person hit by it and the enemy team member hit by it procs one charge of Frostwolf.
Oh, okay.
So if you hit all five, you get a heal. All
right.
And doesn't it give you candy and good wishes when it goes off now?
Sure.
And, you know, writes a letter to your grandma telling her you're sorry that you don't write as often as you should.
The chat room is saying it didn't used to do damage or give candy.
Yeah, the candy, okay. I think.
All right, so this is all new. This is all good.
Everything about it is new. If you're a fan of Fireboy, otherwise known as Ragnaros, heroic difficulty bonus reduced from 50 to 25%. Let's see, Zul'jin, Tazdingo cooldown increased from 60 to 90. Take that, Bo. Here's your 30 extra seconds.
Woo. You want axe?
Yeah, I want slow axe now. I want a long time between axe. Yeah, you don't care. I don't care.
That's my favorite line of his, by the way.
It is, but the reason it's my favorite
line really don't care.
Is Bo says it all the time in games and stuff, and I can always hear, I can always sense that the other people we're on, like, voice comm with aren't exactly sure if Bo's saying he doesn't care to the thing they were asking him, or if he's doing his Zul'jin impression again, which I think
I
is
get
amazing.
To conceal my true feelings by saying I don't really care. Yeah. You're like, man, today I went to the doctor and they checked me out and I had this thing that was in a panic. I don't know. I had the shingles. They said I had shingles, but then they said they had a solution for the shingles, and I'll just be like, I don't really care, and everyone will laugh, and you won't be sure if I'm just really not interested in your shingles,
right? I love that.
Perfect.
So hold on a second. So you don't know who Kobe Bryant played for. I don't know what shingles are. I've never known. Shingles? What are they? What do shingles do?
You put them up in your window and they keep the sun out.
No, you get shingles. I believe it's like a form of chicken pox.
Oh. Well, it sounds awful.
If I'm banned from sports, I am definitely banned from medicine, you guys. Like, I cannot talk about medical related.
Imagine what would happen if you were in sports medicine. Then you'd really be screwed.
Oh, jeez. Dr. Bo is here to see Kobe Bryant of the Bulls.
Dr. Bo killing 300 athletes a year.
I'm sorry, you're in Chicago, Illinois. You need to go back to Los Angeles where Kobe Bryant has always played.
I don't care, really.
I don't care.
Shingles are adult chicken pox. Everyone's saying it's adult chicken pox.
Oh, really?
But it's funny because people will tell you they have shingles.
Yeah.
But they'll be really embarrassed about it. It's like telling somebody you have herpes. Like, you just don't want to do it. You don't, even if you are a shameless person, it still feels a little crummy to say, hey, I got herpes. You know, and you don't really do that. And people do that with shingles. And I'm just like,
well, how do you get shingles? You put like a pineapple on your wiener or what? How do you get it?
You so go to your friend's house and play Ookie Mouth.
Okay. We're really off topic.
But you know what I mean? Like,
it's because you get I've never had chicken pox,
yeah,
but I was inoculated against it, which I guess means I'll never get it. But some people don't get it, don't get inoculated, and get it as an adult.
And that's shingles.
But they call it shingles for some reason. There's a big paragraph now in the chat room explaining it. I'm not going to.
It's a big.
Like, that was copied from Wikipedia.
Let me. Yeah, they didn't type that. Here's
if not, kudos to you, middle-aged man, for writing all that out.
That's his username, by the way, listeners.
Middle-aged man?
Middle underscore aged underscore man.
Okay, that person's my new hero. Let me pull that up here a little closer. Middle-aged
Look, Geek Shark's in the chat room. It often recurs and you get post-herpetic neuralgia real bad. Don't.
Post-herpetic? Herpetic.
I don't know. Don't know what that is.
All right.
All right. But anyways, so that's shingles, folks.
All right. Shingles for you.
Where was that in the patch notes? Because I missed it. But I would have liked to know.
My only point with the shingles thing, let me just say why I brought it up, is because the name of it makes it sound like it's a pattern and that it's like a sharp cutoff, like almost like steps of a pattern, like you're getting like scales on you. And so it sounds, I think, worse than it is. It's probably more random than that. I picture like a pattern of like hard shell, the armor that what's his name wears in Heroes. Here, I'll bring it back to Heroes. The Butcher.
King.
No. Oh. The Butcher armor that looks like chocolate, big chocolate squares or whatever.
Oh, I was about to say the Butcher just wears an apron, Scott.
I think the Butcher doesn't have skin. He's just got a layer of shingles on him.
Yeah.
And an apron is only armor in sexy video games.
Or like, you know, I don't know, any of the weird Zerg stuff that's like that. So anyway, that's the only reason I brought it up. Anyway, All right. So where were we? Oh, yeah, Thrall, Ragnaros, did him. Zul'jin, got that. 90 seconds, eat it. Rhaegar, Bloodlust, cooldown reduced from 10 seconds to 8 seconds. Movement speed buff reduced from 30%, mount speed to 25. Now, let me ask this question. Hold on, Bloodlust cooldown reduced. So it's only 8 seconds between
Bloodlust. Oh, sorry, not cooldown, duration. Duration.
Oh, yeah.
Oops, typo.
I knew that wasn't ringing right.
Yeah, the duration of Bloodlust is decreased to 8 seconds, and you get movement speed as well, mm-hmm. and it's decreased by 5%. Okay. The movement speed you get is mount speed. It's kind of nuts. So,
I wonder how Dan feels about that. That feels like a bit of a nerf to his favorite healer.
Well, you know, it's pretty obnoxious right now. I know in Hero League, it's like everyone wants to take Rhaegar all of a sudden and play Bloodlust, which is great. Mm. Except it sucks to play against because people don't. It's very challenging to get everyone to draft counters to it. So maybe they need to tune it down a bit.
I can see that. All right. In competitive news, the HCG Open Division Tournament has been announced.
HGC.
That's what I meant. HGC.
Yeah. No, I typed it wrong.
You wrote it in there wrong.
You put your faith in me, Scott, and I'm failing you.
Just remember, Home and Garden Channel.
Home and Garden Channel. Open Division Tournament.
No, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good way to keep it straight. All these damn acronyms in our lives. Anyway, from the esports website, it reads like this. The top 8 teams from North America and Europe, respectively, have secured their spots in the HGC for 2017. However, there remains an opportunity for any brave souls who believe they are worthy to break into the big time through the open division, and this is how it works. Teams of 5 will compete on alternating weekends for 7 tournament cups per region. This will be hosted by Gosu Gamers. I don't know who that is. Who is that?
It's a new esports news
you
site.
You do know who it is.
Do I?
Scott, you do know who it is.
You're doing a thing for them.
Oh.
We're on a judging panel for
them. Oh, those guys. No, you're right. No. I'm an idiot.
By the way, when do we have work to do for them? Don't we have something
they're,
that we need
they're
to
supposed
do?
To let me, I assume they'll let me know. You're right. Gosh, that is them. It didn't look right on paper or on the screen for some reason. Anyway, no, that's them. All right, so that's hosted by them. Points will be awarded to the top 16 teams in each tournament. These points will be tracked and on display at heroesofthestorm.com/esports. Now, after the first 7 cups in each region, the 16 teams with the most points will be seeded and entered into a single elimination playoff bracket. So are you ready, Bo? Are you going to get in your 5-man team and go for it?
I don't know. This is interesting. I mean, it's a big time commitment, right? Mm-hmm. But, what I love about this is that, so there's the big pro leagues and then there's the place for everyone else can try.
Yeah.
And I will say I'm very interested in giving this a whirl. Because it's sort of, I don't have the time schedule to, right now to play constantly, but I would love to try competing in something. It's kind of official, right? It's the open tournament where you could get seeded from it. So, why not? Yeah. This is definitely interesting to me to get started.
But you have to show up with 5 people, right?
Well, four.
Oh, Well, yeah, no, four other people. I mean, like, in total, you have to have five people. I mean, it's not like you can just go in and be a... you can't be a free agent and someone's going to stick you in a team of other like-minded players, right? That's not going to happen. You're going to have to go on your own. I mean, you have to go with a team. Well, then it's not going to be us, is my point. My entire point is
You know what? I'm probably going to find people better than me. It's going to be like if I... Well, actually, what's more important is I find people that I gel well with and are cool. But I don't know. I haven't given it that much thought in terms of teams.
Well, you've got to find... I'm telling you right now, if you want to win or compete at all, you need to find better players than us.
I might need... That's what I'm saying is I might need to find better players than me so I can get carried. Like, it depends on what level the competition is, because I don't want to go in there and lose every game, because eventually that'll get tiring and not worth my time.
All right.
And, you know, you guys always say I'm pretty good, but I'm pretty hard on myself, so... I don't know about that.
I think you are good. You're definitely.
I'd be looking to get carried a little bit.
Well, you're a step you're a step well above the average. I mean, if you could pull people like I could see like you. I mean, I'm going off people I know here, but you and Kyle, and three others.
Wow! Like somebody, you insulted so many people all in one shot.
Well, I mean, everybody.
Well, it's not insulted, but you know what I mean. When you start having these conversations on air, it's like, who would you pick?
And I don't want anyone
to feel bad about.
I couldn't take the pressure. That's all I know is I couldn't do the pressure of something like this because I'm not. I just know I'm not good enough. So it's like, what's the point of me trying to do that? I would be more comfortable trying to do some sort of grassroots Overwatch thing than I would this, because I just don't think I can compete with the big boys, and I don't need to. I'm having fun where I'm at, but
might be true of me too. It depends how big the boys are. Like, it's worth trying to see just what it's like, but I could go in there and feel like get out. Like, I never want to come back and play here again. It's so hard.
I will never be involved in this.
Could
again.
Be bad. Sure. So I don't know.
Oh gosh, what else? There's a bunch of dates here. Twice a year in the Crucible, the top two teams from the Open Division playoffs. Somebody's cell thing is moving back and forth. They're freaking me out. We'll challenge the bottom two pro teams from the HGC. Whose spots in the HGC will be on the line. The first place team from the Open Division playoff will choose which of the two HGC teams from the chopping block they will face in their final test, a best of seven match. So that's seven games in a match for a spot in the next HGC phase. Win your match in the Crucible, and that's it. Your team is in the HGC. So you can start flipping homes and talking about how to fix your living room. Oh, wait. I'm still thinking of the home and garden
channel. Home and garden channel.
Yeah. You can start figuring out how to spend your minimum wage income
on,
you know, burgers.
How much is it? What is their, what's the payout? Is it minimum wage on this? Is that what they're doing?
I don't know if it's minimum. I can't remember. I don't want to speak disparagingly about it. But you, it's great that they're getting money, but like, they're not making a killing from the salary. I think the killing is going to come from streamer agreements and sponsorship, if that's a thing, right? Like it's, you need to be playing this game because you're passionate about it on paper based on what's being offered, not because you're looking to make the dollar bills, yo. But for a young person, I'm sure it's plenty of money.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, dude. If I was like 17, do you know how exciting this would be? This would be all I had think.
So lots of hamburgers.
Yeah, who cares? You can live on any of that stuff. Live out of a bag. Who gives a shit? It just changes when you get older.
I don't really care.
I fell for it for just a second again. I fell for it again. Where I wasn't sure if you were doing Tazdingo.
No, I'm doing the bit. Come on, I'm always doing.
I know. I can just never tell. I'm just never sure.
I'm always doing the bit.
All right, the bit is always happening. Next. Let's talk about Tempo Storm's bit. They picked up Murloc Geniuses, a.k.a. formerly Astral Authority. They now own them. I don't know what that ends up meaning for Tempo Storm or Murloc Geniuses, except that Geniuses was a real standout last year and blew a lot of people's minds, and everybody kind of thought, oh, man, look at these guys coming out of nowhere with their dumb name and they're sort of who knows who they are, and they're really giving people a run for their money. So clearly this was a talent buy. We'll see what happens. Mage Wars, the brawl is out. Can you guys explain it to me? I haven't done it yet, so tonight we'll probably do it because I want to see it. But John, what's the Mage Wars thing? What's the deal with that brawl?
Well, you get to pick from three random characters, like a lot of brawls, but they are all mages. And then you play a battle on Tomb of the Spider Queen.
Oh my. Is it a full game, like with full talent trees and everything?
Oh, it's a this full game, they might have stumbled on a game mode that's longer than a Heroes of the Storm match.
Oh, Lord.
It's long. It's an investment. It was okay. I got Li Ming the first time, which was the most fun I had. And then after that, my choices were just okay. Li Ming's a lot of fun in this mode, but then when I didn't have that as a choice, I was sad.
So who'd you get? You get to choose between Gul'dan, her, I assume KT and Jaina,
and Nazebo and Chromie.
Oh, Nazebo's in that.
Yeah.
Interesting. He's a mage, is he?
He is now.
He's a dirty frog monster. He's not a mage. He sits around going, I'm putting spiders in cans and making frogs. Woo! Like, that's not magey. That's a strange. That's a shit wizard is what that is.
It's a shit wizard. He is a shit wizard. Yeah. Yeah, I think he counts, and I'm glad he's in there. And a lot of people are really touting the Nazebo as being super strong, but I think Li Ming is the thing to play in that. The resets are real.
Would it be better if it was all Li Mings across the board, like just all Li Ming all the time?
You need your lane push. It's weird, but all the mages do serve kind of a purpose. So you need some genetic diversity on your comp, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. However, Li Ming owns them all. I play nothing but Li Ming. I, every time I got a choice, I just play Li Ming and be top.
It's nice that you had that opportunity, Bo.
Yeah. So when I play Kael'thas, I got to stand around and just be like, yeah,
I didn't get that choice. I would have taken Li Ming every time.
I can't say you guys
had a Chromie game and I had a Nazebo game.
You guys aren't filling me with confidence, though, that the games are longer than regular Heroes games. Like, that sounds.
This one goes long because here's the thing. You'll get a lot of progress early, but about the time you hit level 20, with it being all mages, it suddenly becomes this very long-ranged, kind of push and pull. Everybody just kind of congregates in the middle and there's very little progress made. It just gets a little long. In most of the games I saw, we were getting close to 30 minutes.
All right. Well,
yeah, depending on your push level. The chat room is going nuts about Nazebo being good because of superstition, which grants 50 spell armor.
Mm. Yes. But
it makes you vulnerable it actually grants you 30% vulnerable to basic attacks.
Yeah, but
which technically goes beyond the cap of 25, and that's an exception that's also in the game, incidentally. Beyond that. But I know Li Ming dumpster superstition. It's not that good, guys. I'm living proof. I did it.
Both got strong feelings. I think Nazebo's a little OP in this mode. I will agree with the chat, and not just because I want the chat to like me.
I think he's OP in that he's not a freaking mage. This is the wrong name.
Scott, you got a problem with him being called a mage.
They should call him
a mage the way we talk about it.
Well, sure, he does some magic and stuff, but if he's a mage, then you know who's a mage? Zul's a mage.
Me as a 12-year-old kid putting spiders in jars was a mage. Mom, I'm a mage, I said, and threw a jug at her.
I actually agree that a necromancer would be a mage. Like, necromantic magic is generally magic, so I agree with Zul. Zul should be in Mage Wars. Yep.
But then you start, I don't know. Yeah, I realize you have to make the line somewhere. I just don't know that Nazebo is where I would have put the line. Like, why isn't Chromie in there? She's a mage. She's magey as hell.
She's in there.
Is in there. Okay. Who are we missing then?
No, we're just missing Zul because he's technically a mage. I just think he doesn't play like a mage because he's very sort of melee-ish if you think about it, but he does magics. It's necromancy. Necromancy is mage-tastic.
It's a mage. Yeah. Is voodoo magery, though?
Yeah, voodoo magic.
Voodoo magic. He collects animals and throws it at people.
He raises the dead. He has zombies, remember? And he has a ghost that he shoots out of his forehead.
You're not wrong about, okay, yes, those are the two magic things he does. But for the most part, it's bugs and toads.
I like how you're quibbling that, like, just because a person can do a little bit of magic doesn't make them a magician.
Yeah.
Like, just because I can do a card trick at a party doesn't make me like a street music. I can't call myself a peer of Brian Brushwood because maybe I do one trick at a party.
Well, yeah, if you do one trick at a party with a deck of cards, you're no David Blaine still. That is my point. Exactly. Like, he can do frogs, bugs, and a couple of magic things. Jaina does nothing but magic things. That's all she does. She drops ice from the sky. She shoots ice
pretty
at
productionist.
You.
I think Jaina is more to Jaina than just magic.
Oh my gosh. I love her so much more in this game than in WoW right now. The other day I was reminded, I'm playing Heroes, and she says, I was playing her, and what were we doing? Oh, I think we were starting a team fight. And she goes, can't we just reason with them? Like, I don't want to fight.
She's a diplomat. When we get diplomat wars, she'll be one of the heroes we can pick.
I guess so, but in WoW, she's so pissed and wants to kill everybody. So, I don't know. It's a disconnect.
I see your point. I will see your point, Scott.
Thank you for seeing my point.
You have a good point.
That's right. You know. Like my beef scenario. It's pretty good. all free heroes.
You're not mad at me, are you?
No. Hell no. At you? I could never be. Let me think of the four people in this world I could never be mad at. Bo is on the top. He's right up there on that list of the people I could never be mad at.
So, I don't really care.
I could never.
You want X? I don't care.
Oh, my Lord. All right, real quick. All free heroes this weekend. Well, yeah, January 13th through the 16th. Every hero on the roster is free to play. None of them held back. So come on in and set a spell and then play with some of those heroes if you haven't already, or if you've just been on the bench about, I don't know if I want to spend this gold on that guy or this money on this dude or whatever. This is your chance to see if any of them are really your speed or not. So
And level them all to 5 and get a ton of free gold.
Yeah.
Pretty quick to level to 5. So lots of free gold for your free to play players.
I hadn't thought of that. Except I already own everything and I'm still lazy about making some of them 5. That's my own problem. We'll deal with it in a different day.
We'll ask Wendy on therapy.
Yeah, Wendy will help me out with that.
You should bring up heroes next time on therapy.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great.
Your losses?
Yeah, it'll totally work. I'm sure it'll be no problem at all.
Or she could come on our show to discuss this question.
Okay.
Just saying.
We'll see what we can do. Here's no next Jeopardy this week, by the way. Bro's preparing a humdinger, and it's coming out next week. So not this week, all right? Everyone just calm down. And don't worry about it. We can't have it every week. Like John was saying before the show, if everything's a treat, nothing's a treat. Okay? Isn't that what you said? Like, you said something like that earlier today.
It sounds like me.
Well, then emails then. Oh, dude, the new transitions are wicked.
Oh, that's cool.
Probably scared somebody. Anyway, hey, emails and calls. We're doing emails today. They come to us at core@heroesforyou.com, and I got this one here about Medivh, and we're going to see if LeChuck and John can see eye to eye on this hero. He says, hey, guys, love everything you've done in the community. You guys had said Medivh should be reclassified as a support, and I'm here to tell you why I disagree. After playing him all weekend and really enjoying his kit, I think Medivh fits squarely in the specialist category. Specialists like Sylvanas, Asmodan, Zag, etc. Provide their teams lane control, but also some vision. If a specialist is doing their job well, each lane should be sufficiently pushed in, giving your team glimpses of where the enemy heroes are at, should they cross lanes. I think that's weird English. Anyway, Zagara, just like Medivh, can provide total map vision, not just lanes. Medivh's primary role when not team fighting is to fly his Raven, or fly in Raven form, and follow the other team. This allows your team to safely secure camps, objectives, get picks, and take bosses, if they have sufficient knowledge of where everyone is at. A support's primary responsibility is to follow one of your teammates around and keep them in good health. Now, in a team fight, the support continues doing the same thing, but they've got other abilities to make it easier. Medivh is in a team fight, on the other hand, switches from providing vision across the map to providing escape and protection, just like Zagara switches from providing lane control and vision if she picks Maw to team lockdown. Sylvanas also provides team lockdown in the form of silence and mind control. I obviously love Medivh and find him to be a solid pick in the lower leagues. I'm Silver One and have really found his vision alone allows your team to pick their moments more wisely than face-checking bushes and camps. Love the show. LeChuck, which is French for the Chuck. So, the Chuck, I don't think I disagree. I mean, I still think it's like the shield thing, the escape thing, and the bird thing feel supporty to me. I don't know why. He's probably right. And maybe we're picking at straws or hairs or however, splitting hairs or whatever, how you say it.
let's start here, and you can follow up, Scott. Let's start here with the one, and you know, LeChuck, thank you for writing in.
Yeah.
So if I have a, you know, argumentative or disagreeable opinion of what you said, just bear with me. But you said it supports primary responsibility. I don't care, really. a supports primary responsibility is to follow one of your teammates around and keep them good and healthy. That is what everyone hates about sports, is that attitude that you're there to heal people and follow them around. That is not what we want supports to be. We want them to be proactive agents in that support the team's objectives. And that is boring, what you've just described there, for people who play support. They want to feel like they're doing more. And I think we can actually look at other games in the genre and say there are examples of this. And certainly there are heroes in the support class right now who are active agents. There are just some that are not. And the attitude that that's what they're meant to do sucks. Maybe that is what they're meant to do, but it sucks. I think it's not a good view. And so I think the rest of your opinions on Medivh are great. That's how you're providing value to your team, and you can categorize it as a specialist. I think the issue we have is that our definition of supports is not what you've described there.
Yeah. I mean, and hardly any of them are what you're describing. I mean, in other words, I mean, I can do some damn fine support with Karazhan, but I can do a whole lot more and very clutch things with him in fights and other stuff that have nothing to do with following anyone around and making sure they're getting farted on, you know. John, what were you going to say? I cut you off.
LeChuck, awesome name.
Yeah.
As a fan of the Monkey Island series, I respect it.
Sure.
So, you know, there you go. But I disagree. You know, I think that Medivh's kit, a lot of parallels can be drawn between him and Tassadar, even. And I think you're drawing parallels between a character that's a support and a character that's a specialist, and that seems weird to me. Like, anything you say about Medivh as far as why he isn't a support can be said the same thing about Tassadar, who is. You know, he provides shields, he provides vision, he provides some basic damage, he's got really good self-escape. You know, and as a result, depending on how you use his E, he can also do a little bit of scouting with it. One of his ults is purely just a block to prevent people from getting away and allows positioning around it. Like, but I also agree with Scott. I think we're kind of splitting hairs a little bit on it. The only reason why I think it matters is just because sometimes you get a game that has Medivh on it. The quick match wants to put one support versus one support.
Yeah.
And sometimes if the other team doesn't have a support and they give the other team a Medivh, it's like they had a support. And I think that's why Bo and I have a tendency to feel like Medivh should be reclassified, is because if one team has zero supports and a Medivh and the other team has zero supports and no Medivh, the team with the Medivh, assuming the player can actually play him, is at a bit of an advantage because they have a support-like character.
Yeah, they're doing support things. They're supporting players individually and as a team as much as, like you keep using the example, as much as Tassadar, even Taronda to some degree does that. Like, I don't know. Supporting the players is what a support is in this game, and he does that more than sitting in a lane by himself pushing something until the team says, okay, team fight, come out the bottom lane, let's do this. Like, how often do you see Medivh off just doing stuff on his own? Pretty rare, except in bird form. Pretty rare.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting thoughts, though. Keep sending your emails in about that issue if you'd like. We got one more email from Alessander, who says this. Dearest Martha and other co-hosts.
Is this a Dear Martha, though?
No, I don't think so. Says, I drove home today from work, as I often do, listening to Next Jeopardy. Gorath would not stop talking about McDonald's. You can't go four blocks without seeing one, and I was weak. Now I know that I love you, and $2 for $5 McRib specials. Yours truly, Alessander. So apparently, all your McDonald's.
This is a Dear Martha. Who does she love?
Oh, us? That's a good point.
I would assume us or Martha.
Damn it! I can't do it retroactively. You know what? It didn't read like one when I first read it. You're making a good point, but I'll play this for a second. All right, there you go.
There we go.
Unless Bo wants to. John, you want to do one here? You know what?
Let's get John. John's our star.
John's going to do. John, this is.
Do we want to do one about McDonald's or do we want to do something about something else?
Let's do one about Medivh and why the whole support thing, okay?
All right.
Here goes.
My dearest Martha, today we met a new member of our cadre of comrades. His name's Medivh, and he can turn into a bird. Martha, I tell you, it's the strangest thing. I don't know what to think of it. He seems to just enjoy being a bird. Sometimes our brothers in arms will be gunned down right before him, bleeding in the streets, crying for help, holding on to trinkets of lost loved ones, knowing they'll never see them again. And there he is, just a bird, floating above. One time, young Pippin took a bayonet to the side. They're in the game, I swear. He fell to the ground and cried, and the only comfort was a tiny bit of warmth as Medivh pooed lightly on his chest. The Nexus is a weird place, Martha, and I know I'll never see you again. Yours truly, Whiskey Drinker 99.
Oh my gosh, that was great. Lightly pooped on his chest.
Comrades.
Comrades. Oh, my Lord.
Hello, comrades.
Well done. You've spurned one out of us there, emailer. Man, send us your emails. We love them. core@heroesforyou.com. That's going to do it. Now, before we go, Bo, you're on an upcoming episode of Beyond the Playlist with Hammond Chamberlain.
Yeah, Hammond Chamberlain invited me on Beyond the Playlist. So if you enjoy Bo, he's a very disarming interview. I may have said things I shouldn't have because it was very casual. I think it was fine, but you know.
You never know until later.
I look back at it and I'm like, that was a pretty casual conversation. I'm sure my shot at becoming president 20 years from now, Prime Minister of Canada, is blown.
No, but here, if you're going to be president, you'd be fine. You can do anything you want and be president.
You can do whatever you want. Pee on somebody.
Yeah, you can just take a big old leak on a Russian
that's
lady.
That's why I have a newfound belief that there's actually a good chance I could become prime minister of my country because, I mean, that bar is pretty low.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys, but I'm like, I thought it was impossible. But Trump showed me if you believe in your dreams, you can make anything
you
possible.
Can do it. When your parents said, son, when my parents told me, son, anyone can be president, I didn't know they meant that. I thought they meant... I don't know what I thought they meant. Everything makes nothing. Everything's upside down. But all that matters is you're on that show. So search for it. Google it. Beyond the Playlist. It's easy to find. It's wherever podcasts are freely
going. That's the point. My point was not to promote Trump. It was to promote me. Mm-hmm. I'm on Beyond the Playlist. I'm on this show and with some great co-hosts, John and Scott. I'm advertising for a show I'm on. That's great.
Yeah.
Also, it means perhaps one day we could be also in the Nexus.
Yeah, which means...
Trump has shown us that we can dream big. And I still say Scott Johnson needs to be like a character in the game.
Yeah, that'll happen. We're going to definitely be playing right after this. So chat room, if you would like to hang about. There'll be a brief blip in the stream, and then we will switch over, and we will be playing Heroes of the Storm in various ways with friends and you. So if you'd like to do that, hang around, we'll do that. In the meantime, heroesforyou.com is our website. If you'd like to go there, all things are there. All the stuff you need to know, including our email address, our phone number, and our Twitter accounts, which are Core Heroes, John_Jagger, sorry, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz, without underscores in our names. Was that one taken? Is that why John Jagger was taken? Was that the deal?
Yeah, he's a... At John Jagger is a British book writer. Writes technical manuals and stuff.
How long is it, how many followers does he have?
I don't know. I think I've got him beat still.
The real question
not
is,
by much.
Is he a good comrade?
Is he a good comrade?
You know, he's fine. He hasn't ever said anything about all the video game tweets that I'm sure he gets by accident when people are like, hey, John Jagger's joining us. He seems like he's pretty chill about it. Yeah. So
it's not as bad as my buddy Will Smith, who constantly gets Will Smith tweets. It's like the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where you want to go. Follow us, talk to us, hang out with us. And thank you, everybody, for showing up tonight. Thank you, everybody who came via the launcher and those who come regularly on Tuesdays. We really like seeing you guys here. It's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. And for all of you, we'll see you next time.
is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Sorry.